What happens when two...
I found this adoption agency.
...turns into five.
She comes with two younger siblings.
In an instant.
Three kids?
And one?
From the creators of Daddy's Home.
We might have a little bit of a knack for this.
Oh, no!
I beg to differ.
...comes Instant Family, the feel-good movie for everyone.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Thanks, Daddy.
Starring Mark Wahlberg.
Should we give them a kiss goodnight?
You guys are overthinking this.
Rose Byrne and Octavia Spencer. Instant Family. In cinemas February 14. Certificate 12A.
Thursday, January 17th, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. If you are tired of that same old sports talk that you hear on your local radio, try it out here. You're going to like it a little bit better. We talk sports with a dose of common sense. We'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world when we can, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. You know, we do have a very important birthday on this day in sports history. Back on January 17th, 1929, Jacques Plante, Canadian ice hockey goalie who actually played from 1947 to 1975, he is considered to be one of the most innovative players ever in the sport of hockey. Now, he played for the Montreal Canadiens from 53 to 63, and during that time, the team won the Stanley Cup six times. Five of those were in a row. But here is what Jacques Plante brought to the game of hockey. He was the first goalie in history to wear a mask because he had suffered a broken nose. And because I would assume he was tired of living every single day of his life with his face just busted up in general. Now, Plante, of course, died back in 1986, but hey, if you are a hockey goalie or a hockey player in general or a hockey fan in general, everyone should be saying thanks to Jacques Plante today for not getting their face smashed into a pulp every single game. If you go back on YouTube and you watch the videos of this guy, to see goaltenders playing the game of hockey without a mask on their face, It's the most bizarre thing you will ever see. They're just going out there, sticking their head into everything. It is absolutely bizarre. But on this day, everything changed because Jacques Plante was born and he decided, you know what? I'm sick and tired of having fractured orbital bones every single day of my life. I think I'm going to put a mask on. If you'd like to contact the show, maybe let us know your favorite sports innovation. Now, personally, I am a little partial to the Athletic Cup.
Oh!
Hey, that's just me. We would love to hear from you. You can email us, dailydosports@gmail.com, or reach out to us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosports. If you've got a suggestion, if you've got some feedback for the show, maybe you need a little advice on a certain subject, we would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out. Now, I do hate to bring this up. I really do. I know this is a sensitive subject, but we are now halfway through January. Guess what's coming up, folks? That's right. Valentine's Day is coming in less than a month. And what better way to let that special person in your life know that you love them than by stopping by tpublic.com and picking up some Daily Dose gear. Hey, they've got t-shirts, they've got sweatshirts, they've got hoodies, coffee mugs, a number of Daily Dose items over there that are going to convey the love that you want to show to the special people in your life. So be sure you stop by tpublic.com. Search Daily Dose, scroll down until you find our logo, and you can order some gear over there. Hey, we've got a lot to get through today. As usual, we do have a couple of interesting stories coming out in the world of sports. And as we do on many Thursdays, we also have a few sports media overreactions this week that we want to discuss. Plus, how did each of the NFL teams do that have hired a head coach? Because now we've pretty much got all of those positions filled. Going to talk a little bit about how each team did hiring new head coaches. But let's go ahead and jump in. You know, we talked some college football yesterday, and we got some college football news yesterday too. Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts has committed to play his senior season at the University of Oklahoma. Now remember, as a graduate transfer, Hurts is eligible to play immediately. We talked about it last week. He entered his name into the transfer portal, and we weren't positive if he was going to go, but he took his first official visit to Maryland on Friday. He went to Oklahoma on Saturday, And then he went to Miami on Sunday. And they say there were a few other schools interested in Hurts: Auburn, Tennessee, Utah, UCLA, Florida State, and Ohio State all had interest in Jalen Hurts. And it's no wonder. Kid was 26-2 as a starting quarterback at Alabama. And then, of course, he got benched in favor of Tua Tagovailoa this season. Well, actually, last season in the national championship game. Still, Hurts appeared in all but two games this year as a backup. And as a backup, he went 51 of 70. He had 765 yards, 8 touchdowns, and just 2 interceptions. He did also run for 167 yards and 2 more touchdowns. But during his 2 seasons as a starter, Hurts won an SEC Offensive Player of the Year award. He threw for nearly 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. He also had 1,800 yards and 21 touchdowns rushing. Now, we know Oklahoma has had some success with transfers. Let's see. Let's take a look at their last 2 quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield, transfer. Kyler Murray, transfer. Yeah, they did pretty well. They both went on to win the Heisman Award. So I guess this shouldn't be a surprise to any of us that now they're going to get Jalen Hurts. My biggest question about this whole situation is, because we know the reason Hurts was benched at Alabama is because at times he didn't attack defenses down the field. He preferred to check down, take the safe play, take the short route. Whereas Tua came in, would throw the ball down the field. That is why Nick Saban ended up benching Jalen Hurts. Now at Oklahoma, oh yeah, you're expected to throw the ball down the field. Think of how wide open and pass happy the offenses are in the Big 12. We're going to see if Jalen Hurts can adjust his game a little bit. It's going to be a little different than facing SEC defenses. Will he adjust, and can he take over that job and do what the last 2 quarterbacks at Oklahoma have done? Hey, I like the kid's personality. I like a lot of the leadership stuff that he brings to the table. And if you ever want an example of how to deal with a benching, we got it this last year. He didn't complain. He didn't mope. He didn't whine. Jalen Hurts just did his job. And in that regard, Oklahoma got themselves a very good quarterback. A little more college football news. Former Ohio State quarterback Tate Martell has announced he will be transferring to the University of Miami. Now, Martell redshirted his freshman season before he backed up Dwayne Haskins this past year. He did get on the field a little. He completed 23 passes, 269 yards, and he had 1 touchdown. He also ran the ball 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Martell has 3 more years of eligibility, but unless he is granted some sort of waiver, he's going to have to sit out this next year. But maybe you hear the name Tate Martell and you're like, I don't know that kid. I don't know anything about that kid. Let me give you a little inside information. He actually appeared. His story was shown in a series called QB1 that is on Netflix. You can kind of see what kind of kid Tate Martell is. Very good football player. Spoiled, rotten, rich kid. Let's make no mistake. How could I describe him the best to you? Picture Johnny Manziel without all the shyness. How about that? Let's go with that. Yeah, that kid, that Tate Martell, he's going to the U. Well, of course he is. Where else could he go? He should fit in perfectly down in Miami. It's going to be interesting to watch. Hey, the kid is very, very exciting to watch as a quarterback. He's a little bit Tim Tebow-ish in style. He's just also a little Johnny Manziel-ish in personality. See what Tate Martell does at Miami. Finally, you know, yesterday we did talk about some of the weird sports stories that were coming out of my country here in the United States. Because here in the USA, we are busy arguing about silly things that honestly, they have no importance whatsoever. Well, it took exactly one day for me to be reminded just how good we do still have it here in America. Because late Tuesday, it was reported that Turkish prosecutors are seeking an international arrest warrant for New York Knicks center Enes Kanter. They are accusing him of membership in a terrorist organization. Sabah newspaper says the Istanbul chief prosecutor's office has also prepared an extradition request for the NBA player. The newspaper says prosecutors are seeking an Interpol red notice citing Kanter's ties to, and I'm gonna botch these names, Fethullah Gulen, who is blamed for a failed government coup back in 2016. They accuse him of providing financial support to this group. According to Interpol, a red notice is a request to locate and provisionally arrest an individual pending extradition. Now, in order for Kander to be extradited, the United States would have to be convinced that he has committed some sort of crime that is prosecutable in the United States. Back in November, Turkey was making similar requests for more than 80 people that they said were kind of involved in that coup. Earlier this month, Kander refused to travel to London for a regular season NBA game because he was worried he might get assassinated. Now, here in the United States, we talk a lot about oppression and how oppressed some of us are. Folks, I've got news for you. This is actual oppression. This is not the silly oppression that sometimes we throw around haphazardly here in the States. The Turkish government wants Enes Kanter extradited because they don't agree with his political beliefs, so they want to put him in jail or worse. This, again, is actual oppression, not our silly, you know, Clemson football players, they're being oppressed by having to eat McDonald's. No, that's not oppression. Over here, we talk about how we're being bullied because we don't like people using certain pronouns. No. This is real bullying here, kids. They want to put Kanter in jail despite the fact they don't have any evidence of any of their claims. There's never been any sort of link of him with that organization, but they don't like some of the things he said. They don't like the fact that he's a public figure, and they have decided to kind of go after him and see, could we somehow get him brought home so we can persecute this guy? It's just so crazy. I mean, honestly, life here in the United States, yeah, it's not that bad. That's a whole different realm of crazy. But you know, I am thinking about one thing though, and I'm just kind of spitballing here. Is it possible that just maybe the Turkish government looks at the New York Knicks as possibly being a terrorist organization? I mean, I can kind of see it from their point of view. Okay, there's no way that is a professional basketball organization. Have you seen them play over the last, 20, 25 years? They've got to be like a front for a terrorist organization. They never win anything. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're looking at. And in that regard, yeah, I guess it is possible. Hey, coming back this season, we had 8 NFL teams fire their head coaches. And now we have seen mostly those positions all being filled, or they're very, very close to being filled. When we get back, we are going to hand out a few grades for each of those hires. So before we get to some overreactions of the week, we did see 8 NFL teams fire their head coaches as soon as the season was over. Some of them couldn't even wait that long. But now, nearly every position in the NFL has been officially filled. We're still waiting on a couple of things to finish up. I think as soon as the Patriots are done, then I think maybe these other ones are going to be taken care of. But we basically have every single coaching position filled. But here's the question. How did each team do? Because I told you, going into this whole situation, the coaching pool was a little bit thin. There weren't a whole lot of good quality candidates out there. Let's take a look at how each team did. Let's start off with the Arizona Cardinals, who hired USC offensive coordinator, sort of, let's backtrack, former Texas Tech head coach Cliff Kingsbury. Now, this was one of the most bizarre coaching hires I can remember recently. Honestly, it was. But when we look at Arizona's moves lately, then it starts to make a little more sense. Remember, they hired Steve Wilks just 1 year ago. And yes, he did make some absolutely bizarre moves with the team, and the Cardinals were the worst team in the NFL. But you would think if you were the Cardinals, coming off of that, coming off of having to fire a head coach after just 1 year on the job, hey, we're going to go get an established guy that's going to bring respect, that's going to bring continuity. We're going to go get that guy. No, that's not what Arizona did at all. Instead, they take a chance on a guy that couldn't win in the Big 12. And I know what people are going to say. Well, yeah, but he's in the Big 12. He's in Lubbock. He's facing Texas and Oklahoma and all the top schools in the Big 12. He couldn't even win when he had Patrick Mahomes. We are now saying Patrick Mahomes is pretty good, but Cliff Kingsbury, for some reason, still couldn't win with him. And Kingsbury's defenses were notoriously horrible. I'm pretty sure the only reason Arizona hired Cliff Kingsbury is because there were rumors that, I don't know, he had had breakfast with Los Angeles Rams head coach Sean McVay once. That's your reason for hiring a guy? Now, I know usually when publications give out grades like this, we never see anything below a C-. I'll give Arizona a D-. Let's start the bidding off right there. Moving on to Cincinnati. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals have not officially hired Rams quarterbacks coach Zach Taylor, but it looks like they are going to. When teams hire head coaches, they go in the opposite direction of the last coach that they had. I mean, it's almost every single time. You have a really strict coach, we're going to go get a player's coach. You had a player's coach that ran things kind of loose, we're going to go get a very, very strict, very, very structured coach. And hey, that's what Cincinnati did here. Because the Bengals finally got rid of Marvin Lewis. He was old. He's been coaching forever. And now it looks like the Bengals are going to hire Rams quarterback coach Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor is young. That's a point in the opposite direction. His name is not Marvin Lewis. That's also a good point. And he's barely been coaching for any time at all. So this might not mean improvement, but it probably makes Bengals fans pretty happy, doesn't it? And for that, I will give the Cincinnati Bengals a C. Next up are the Cleveland Browns, who hired interim offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens. And you know, this is an interesting hire for the Browns, because the Brownies had been showing some signs of life under interim head coach Greg Williams. They won 5 of their last 8 games after they fired Hugh Jackson. But the Browns went ahead and let Williams go, and instead, they kept interim offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens. Now, Kitchens only has 2 months of coordinator experience at any level, college or pro. That's it. But it was a pretty good 2 months. Rookie quarterback Baker Mayfield's numbers went up significantly under Kitchens. But is Kitchens ready to be a head coach? Probably not. Unless it works out. And then we say, wow, what a genius move that was. They went and got a guy that no one even thought of getting. Okay, I guess we'll see. I'm going to go ahead and give that move a C-, though. You're going to have to prove to me that Freddie Kitchens is a head coach. I'm not sure about it. We'll find out. Next up, my home team, Denver Broncos. And you know, we have pretty much seen every team grabbing what they hope is the next offensive genius so far. But Denver Broncos president John Elway, he didn't follow the crowd, I'll give him that. After firing Vance Joseph, instead of getting an offensive guy, he goes with Chicago Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio to try to get the Broncos defense back to form. Because I think he's looking at the offense saying, yeah, I don't know if I can fix that. Like, there's no fixing that. Let's just focus on the defense and we'll just try to piece together something on the offense. I don't know that much about Vic Fangio. I do know this. The Bears defense was pretty good. I know that Bears fans were not that happy about losing Fangio. So I guess that makes me feel a little bit better. The fact that it sounds like the Broncos are moving on from Gary Kubiak's offense, though, that's a step in a positive direction in my book. Now, if only they could draft with a crap, I would actually be a little bit happy. But I'm not thrilled. I'll give the Broncos a C+, I guess. Next up are the Green Bay Packers, who hired Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur. The Green Bay Packers fired Mike McCarthy after it kind of seemed like he couldn't see eye to eye with quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Then they set out to hire the guy that can get Rodgers to raise the level of his game. So they went out. They hired Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur. You know Matt LaFleur, right? The guy that got the Titans offense to actually be worse than it had been prior to him. Tennessee averaged just 312 yards and 19 points per game. Yeah, that really got that offense going, didn't it? And for that, Matt LaFleur, you get awarded a head coaching job. I'm going to give this hire a C- for the Green Bay Packers. Now, the Miami Dolphins fired Adam Gase after 3 mediocre seasons, and they say, hasn't been finalized, but they say they are planning to hire New England Patriots defensive coordinator and linebackers coach Brian Flores. But he has actually only been a defensive coordinator for just this season. And during this season, the Patriots defense has not been very good. They give up 5 yards per carry, the 29th worst rushing defense in the league. That's not great news for Miami, because we know their quarterbacks aren't going to bail them out. Ryan Tannehill and Brock Osweiler are on the roster. And now, you're telling me the Miami Dolphins might actually have to outscore people? Yeah, I don't think that's going to go so well. I'm going to give the Miami Dolphins a D+ for their efforts in hiring a coach. Next up, we have the New York Jets. Now, 3 years ago, the Miami Dolphins thought Adam Gase could transform Ryan Tannehill into the next great young quarterback. Now it sounds like the Miami Dolphins are ready to set Tannehill out by the curb for the garbage man to pick up. So what did the New York Jets do? They went and hired Adam Gase, who was fired after going 23-25 with the Dolphins. So the Jets, who had fired Todd Bowles, grabbed him up. Because while Gase is under 500 as a career coach so far, he was 5-1 against the Jets. So they think he's pretty good. What the Jets don't realize is that they are awful. And Gase beating them actually doesn't mean anything. So now, we have the guy who didn't help Ryan Tannehill one bit coming to the Jets to mangle Sam Darnold's career. Well done, Jets. I didn't even think this was possible. I am going to go ahead and give the Jets an F for their hire. The final team we have that has hired a head coach are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are not without talent. They actually have a bunch of it. So it doesn't make any sense that they've gone just 5-11 over the past two seasons. Now, maybe some of the reason they were so bad was head coach Dirk Cutter, who clearly didn't seem to run the tightest ship in the league down there. So the Bucs fired him after three seasons, and they bring in 67-year-old prostate cancer survivor Bruce Arians to clean things up. Now, Arians is a pretty good head coach. He has been called the quarterback whisperer for the work he has done with Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Carson Palmer. Now, the Buccaneers are hoping he can do the same thing with first overall NFL draft pick Jameis Winston. Now, I do actually like Bruce Arians a little. I think he can coach. Yes, he's a little older than I would like, but I think he will make Tampa better. The only drawback I have here is Jameis Winston. He's proven again and again he's incapable of making sensible decisions on and off the field. It looks like he's going to be playing this next season under his fifth year option at nearly $21 million for the year. But here's the question. Would you give him that second monster contract? Because if so, I've got some oceanfront property here in Denver you might be interested in. Right now, Arians is saying they need to build around Winston. He thinks Jameis Winston can be a superstar. Let's see if he's still saying that at season's end when Jameis is due like $80 million. But I do like Arians. I do. But he likes Winston, which I don't like. So I am actually going to bump what should be like a, B plus. I'm going to put that down to a B minus for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is seriously one of the weirdest NFL hiring seasons I can remember. There just weren't that many great candidates out there. And you know what I saw more than anything? I saw a lot of lazy hires by NFL teams. They weren't beating the bushes to go find the next great candidate. They just said, I guess we'll take you. You're good enough. They mostly just all looked for someone who had met Sean McVay before. If so, hey, you're hired. Okay, coming back, we did get just a couple of sports media overreactions this week. Those are always kind of fun to point and laugh at, right? We're going to do exactly that when we get back. Just a quick reminder that maybe you have some shopping left to do. Maybe you forgot someone on that holiday list. You might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. January's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Binge. Grab a spot on the couch, get comfortable. We're about to binge some of pop culture's finest offerings to ring in the new year. Unbox and chill with this collection of binge-worthy gear celebrating some of your favorite TV shows. January's Loot Crate theme features items from Friends, SpongeBob SquarePants, and Black Mirror. But hey, if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a huge selection of crates, a monthly subscription of crates, or just go pick individual items. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure to type Daily Dose, DALYDOSE, in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose every single day. You know, sometimes I wish the sports media world wasn't just saying things that I don't even think they believe. They're just doing it to try to get clicks. They're trying to throw out some bizarre headline that you go, oh, what's that about? And you click on it and hey, they generate some income that way. But they do it every single week. And when we take a little bit of a closer look at some of the silly things they say, we realize, yeah, that was just kind of nonsense you were throwing out there. So today, let's take a look at some of the silly sports media overreactions that we have gotten this week. One of the things I'm hearing locally is that the Denver Broncos need to totally rebuild. They should trade Von Miller. go rack up a few draft picks and build your team from the ground up. And obviously we're hearing this a lot more locally than maybe you are nationally or wherever you may be if you're not here in Denver. I always love the, okay, you should just tear the whole thing down and just build it up from scratch. That's the mentality you get from sports fans. And then they start lobbing things out like, what you could do, I'll tell you what you could do. You could trade Von Miller for a few number one picks, and then you could rebuild your offensive and defensive lines, and you could find the quarterback that's going to be your future. You might as well just start over from scratch, though. Here is the thing that people fail to think about in these tear it all down and start over scenarios. The other team making the trade, so say we're trading Von Miller, the team trading for Von Miller, they want value too. They don't just give you like 40 first round picks in the draft. So maybe you get a top pick, maybe you get two at the most, and then they offload some crappy veteran baggage on you. Otherwise, I mean, what's in it for them? They get Von Miller, but they're giving up their future. Now, if you can find a team willing to hand you like three first rounders, by all means, make it happen. But I doubt you're going to get true value for what you already know you have in Von Miller. And I've seen the success the Broncos have had in the draft over the past 10 years, so don't tell me, well, you could just go draft the next Von Miller. No, they can't. You're probably better off just sticking with a proven commodity over John Elway going out and drafting another, I don't know, 7-foot-tall quarterback. We've seen how that works out. It doesn't end well. If Denver could get some value for Von Miller, maybe we can talk about it, but stop acting like you could just rebuild a full team on one outside linebacker. That's not how this league works. Next thing that we're hearing is that the New England Patriots should not be underdogs on Sunday in Kansas City. And I actually heard this one on a very popular daily show in the sports media world. Hey, after what New England did to the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday, why wouldn't they be favored over pretty much everyone? Well, I've actually got a few reasons. For one, the Kansas City Chiefs are pretty good. Two, the New England Patriots do have some flaws. Yes, every single flaw for the New England Patriots looked fixed on Sunday. But I'm not sure if that was great Patriots or just completely overwhelmed Los Angeles Chargers. The Patriots still allow too many rushing yards. That could be a huge problem on Sunday against the Chiefs. They don't always get pressure on the quarterback. Yeah, that could be a major problem against Patrick Mahomes. Now on Sunday, they did look like vintage New England Patriots. They went out, their offensive line looked better. Their defensive line looked better. Tom Brady was as sharp as he could be, and we know Bill Belichick might game plan and prepare better than anyone in the history of the game. But you also did that against a team that always, always underachieves in the Chargers. You did it against a quarterback who has a losing record in the postseason in Phillip Rivers. Let's see if they can do it again this week. On the road, where they have struggled at times, against a really, really high-powered offense, I want to see what Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots do this week, because Kansas City has some flaws as well, but that is a very, very talented team. Let's not go overboard and suddenly act like the New England Patriots are just the end-all, be-all favorite of this whole thing. Are they in it? Of course they are. They're in the Final Four. Are they head and shoulders better than everyone else? Yeah, that I'm not buying. Not yet. They do have some flaws to their game. Finally, let's finish up in college basketball, where we are hearing that the Duke Blue Devils might not be as good as advertised. We saw Duke survive last weekend against Florida State on the road. But then they followed that up with an overtime loss to a very inconsistent Syracuse team on Monday night. Hey, these Dukies might not be as good as we were all being led to believe. And you know, I'll hear some of that. Prior to the season, the media was literally asking, is this the greatest team in the history of college basketball? Before they had even played a single game. So yes, no question, this Duke team is overhyped. But this group can still play. On Monday night, they did lose point guard Trey Jones to a shoulder injury. At this point, Trey Jones might be their MVP. Oh, and Cam Reddish, the Duke Blue Devils' third leading scorer, he didn't even play. He was out sick. So yes, the Blue Devils are beatable. But now we're hearing the exact same media people who were telling us prior to the year, this team might be better than the Fab Five. This team might be the best freshman team we've ever seen. This team might be the best team we've ever seen in college basketball. Now you're telling us this team might not be as good as they were made out to be? You mean as good as you made them out to be? Because you were the only one saying that. Everyone else is just looking at him going, yeah, they're very, very talented. They might contend for a title, but they are still a bunch of freshmen. Yeah, as usual, it's just more silliness from this sports media world. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dust, we will be looking, of course, at some of the top sports stories that are coming out, and then we will have our weekend preview. There are going to be a number of things that you're going to want to make sure you watch this weekend. Plus, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You know you have to tune in for that. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback, for the questions, and the suggestions. Thank you so much for sharing the show. We do appreciate that. Make sure you stop by tpublic.com, pick up some Daily Dose gear. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.